Greet our pastor with a hearty praise the Lord.
Amen. We do thank the Lord for being here once again. How many know we serve a mighty good God?
Yes.
How many know God is a keeper?
Yes.
Not because of what someone else has said, but how many know he's a keeper because of what he's done for you in your life?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. We're living in a very challenging time spiritually when the devil seems to have people's minds sidetracked. But it's so important that we keep God first. Amen. Amen. So important. You know, every day that we have life, health, and strength, we should try to do something for God just a way of showing Him, telling Him thank you. The psalmist said, what shall I render unto God for all of His benefits unto me? He said, I will take the cup of salvation and I will call on the name of the Lord. And we like to stop there, but he goes on to say, and I will pay my vows that I vowed unto God. Amen. When we got saved, we made a vow to God, I will be with you always. Amen. We should never want to lose our faith and our confidence in God. Amen. So we need to make it more of a habit to do things that feed our spiritual man. Amen. And Paul said, John said that he must increase, and what? I must decrease. So if ever there was a time we need to decrease, now is the time. Amen. Every day we live, we should have something to thank God for. Amen. I was listening to a preacher, and from a UPC preacher, and it was actually a lady. She was talking about how we need to praise and worship God. And she said, it's a shame we pass by people every day going to hell, and we're too busy caught up in our own situation that we can't witness for Jesus. Too busy caught up in our own situation that we can't witness for Jesus. And we rub shoulders every day with somebody that's on their way to hell. Amen. So we should just try to change our paradigm. We should have a new mindset. Can we say praise the Lord? So I ain't gonna fuss, I'm just trying to encourage you. Amen. Not just our family needs to be saved, we need to, everybody in our vicinity needs to be saved. As a matter of fact, Jesus told them about their neighbor. Somebody tried to be smart and said, who's my neighbor? Your neighbor is whoever's in your vicinity. Amen. So we need to make it a priority to be a witness for Jesus. I know when I first, before I got saved, I was in RPI or whatever good that makes. But I was at RPI, and they were witnesses to everybody, and I was sitting there, and everybody walked by me. I was like, wow, I guess I don't count. Amen. Seriously, they walked right by me. Just because I was getting ready for football practice, so I had my football uniform on, but, at that time, RPI didn't have a large minority population. So wherever the population were, we were all together. And I was preparing for football. And I want to tell the person's name because I do remember their name. Amen. They witnessed everybody there but me. I wasn't saved, but that kind of left an impact on me. I'm like, so it's not important for me to get saved? Amen. And I don't know what many of those they witnessed who got saved, but they're not here today. He passed me by. Look what God has done. So don't count people out. And whoever's in your vicinity, just tell them. All you have to do is, I go to the bank, every time I go to the bank, I tell them, I say, make sure you go to church Sunday. The church they go to, I tell them, go to church Sunday. Amen. But that's our responsibility to encourage them. So can we say praise the Lord?
Yes, Lord.
Amen. We thank God for my wife being here. We thank God for all of you. We thank God, as Minister Simon said, for giving Sister Rhonda and Lil Imani. Almost too little to be little, but little Imani traveling verses on the island. But let us turn to our notes. We're going to start in Genesis, the 25th chapter, the 7th verse. I like the challenges you all put me in to do Bible study. Used to do Bible reading and Bible skimming, but you all put me under serious pressure. I used to didn't have to do Bible study until Wednesday. I can't wait to Wednesday now. I have to start early and just to try to prepare, but I was Going over something, one of the Messianic Jews who was a former rabbi and then got saved, I was going over some of the stuff that he was going over, and he says, it's a shame how evangelicals have butchering the word of God. He said, just because a preacher is popular and because they have charisma doesn't mean what they say right. So he was saying, the word of God, you have to study each word. So he's Hebrew, so when he hear American preachers in particular preaching, he said they just butcher God's word because they make God's word say what they wanted to say instead of saying what God's word says. Listen, if you don't study God's word, you will make it say what you want it to say, but it won't be what God says. And I just want to use a quick example before we get into this. In the same chapter, I'll just read it. If you all have it in your notes, but if you go to Genesis 25 and verse 17, I'm going to compare two words. And be quite honest, until I started studying, I didn't realize there was a difference either. But because we use one word to cover so many different areas, we miss a lot of times the Jewish, what it means in Jew and Hebrew. Amen. So if we read verse 17, let's just read the latter portion. It says, talking about Ishmael, and he died, he came up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. Then the next verse, it says he died again. Right? In verse 18, he said he died in the presence of his brethren. Now, if you don't study that, you think he just died twice, right? But the first died is the Hebrew word muth, which is M-U-W-T-H. That means he really expired, or he died. The next died is the Hebrew word nephal, N-A-P-H-A-L. That means he fell down in the presence of. So you have to study, because the second one, he did not die. But he fell down and fell prostrate in the presence of. So when it comes to studying God's word, this Messianic, he's named preacher, Jewish preacher, he said, American preachers need to stop butchering God's word. Amen. So we have a responsibility. And no wonder Paul said we need to do what? Study to show ourselves approved unto God. How can you work the scriptures? A workman that needs not to be what? Shame. But the most important, you have to do what? Rightly divide the word of truth. Amen. So we need to not be lazy, especially our preachers. We need not be lazy when we have to preach God's word. This guy said, no, we got to give an account for everything that we do. How can we stand before God and say, well, I thought that's what you said? Think about that, preachers. I've been a preacher. What are my preachers acting like? I just said, I hate you being a preacher. No. But nevertheless, I know Matthew's has a procedure that he has to start taking medication for tonight, so he wouldn't be here. So let's make it our responsibility. He said, what you need to do is not stop doing scripture studies and start doing word studies. Stop doing scripture studies, because when you try to study a whole scripture, you will miss what God is saying, amen? So let's go to Genesis, the 25th chapter, the 7th verse. Many of you, we covered all the way up until the 7th verse, but just as a slight summary, we know that after Sarah died, Abraham married Keturah, that's in verse 1. And when it says, and again, now it looks like it says again, but that word again means he expanded his territory, right? Because the Bible told Abraham, say, in thee shall what? All nations of the earth be blessed, right? So if he just had Ishmael, and if he just had Isaac, that's not all nations, right? So God and Abraham married Keturah, still a fulfillment of the promise that in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. So many times, most people attribute the Arab nations from coming just from Ishmael. But Keturah and Abraham had 6 children that he sent away. That is also a faction of the Arab nation. Right? So if you don't study that, you're just all like, I have thought for years, all the Arab look at somebody and say, you got it wrong. All right, so let's go to Genesis 25:7. Are you all with me? Study. Stop just reading. Stop skimming. Know what God is saying. And guess what? Even if we know it, if we think we know what he said, we still are going to mess up. Because I still mess up. Amen. Matter of fact, I messed up my notes today. I said, how can I go back and change it? I couldn't because I'd already written them out. So I ain't going to tell you what a mess up is. You find it. All right, Genesis 25:7. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 135 years, which is 175. Jewish history states that Abraham died in the year 2123 from the creation of man, not creation of the earth, but from the creation of man. The record of Abraham's years, which follow a similar format to that of Sarah, is said to reflect a progression of righteousness that culminates in a childlike innocence in his latter days. Now, if you don't study, you'll think Abraham passed the baton down to Isaac and that was it. But guess what? Abraham was still around when Jacob and Esau was born. Right? They overlapped. No wonder the scripture said, remember the scripture said he dwelt in tents with Abraham, dwelt in tents with Isaac and Jacob? Amen. Hebrew tells us that he was still around. But Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. You can see, read that in Genesis 21:5. And Isaac was 60 years old when Jacob and Esau were born. We're going to read that later when we get to this chapter. Therefore, he lived 175 years. Abraham died when Jacob and Esau were 15 years of age, respectively. Thus, Abraham saw the promise of God made certain in Jacob's birth. Genesis 25:8. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Amen. And that says a whole lot, but I don't want to get into that right now. But it says that when he died, he was satisfied that he did what God wanted him to do. That full of age and good years means he was satisfied, or he accomplished what God wanted him to do. And the thing is, it said he gave up the ghost, which means he willingly died because he still had vigor. He still had life. At 175, well, he wasn't 175. When he remarried, I think he was 137. So remember, prior to this, all the way up to he was 100 years old, they said his womb was shut up. But his womb could not have been shut up if after Sarah he had 6 more children. So God, even though his early years, they didn't produce, in his latter years, God gave him vigor and vitality. So it doesn't matter how you start off with God. What counts with God, you stay faithful, and God will turn every negative situation around. And can we say praise the Lord? Abraham passes from the scene being one of the most important men of the Bible. He is mentioned 70 times in the New Testament alone. Only Moses is mentioned more times in the New Testament. Moses mentioned 80 times. Abraham was then gathered to his people, which has been interpreted as a euphemism for death by a reference to immortality, a witness to death, and life after death. Also an expression of personal continuance beyond death, which denoted a reunion with previously departed friends. And let's go to our reference is Matthew 8:11. Amen. If I'm going too fast, slow me down. Y'all with me still? Alright. So only, and just before we go here, remember, who would write in all of this account of history? Moses, right? But Moses was not there when it happened. Don't we serve a mighty God? He gets down to the details. He gets down to the details. That's why Moses is mentioned more than Abraham, because Moses was responsible for writing Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But all of Genesis, Moses gives us accurate detailed account. He wasn't there. So who told him? But it's so important to realize the details. mean something in the scripture. All right? He could have just said, Israel was born, but he carefully denotes that the ages, the offspring for a purchase. Amen? Matthew 8:11 says, and I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west. Now who's speaking here? Jesus. All right? Many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. The Bible speaks of several noteworthy and spiritually key people being gathered to their people. Abraham, it mentions it, we just read in 25:8. 25:17 says, Ishmael is gathered unto his people. Genesis 35:29 says, Isaac is gathered unto his people. It surprised me, it says Ishmael is gathered unto his people. That's surprising, right? Because it's talking about a spiritual gathering. Genesis 49:23 says, Jacob is gathered unto his people. Deuteronomy 20:50 says, Moses and Aaron were gathered unto his people. This gathering is described as a separate event from physical death of the body or the burial. God is a God of not a God of the dead. Matthew 12:26-27 reads, as touching the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses? How in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but God of the dead. So he told him, you do greatly err. Amen. So God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. So though Abraham gave up the ghost, he's still alive somewhere. Amen. Genesis 25:9. Am I going too fast? 25:9, and his son Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife. His son Isaac and Ishmael buried him. All right. Now who's the firstborn? Ishmael. Isaac was the secondborn. All throughout Jewish or Hebrew history, the first one is always listed first, unless God does something to change the order. Right. So God changes the order because he lists the election of the chosen one before the natural birth. So even though Ishmael was born first, God, Moses goes out of order and he writes down Isaac and Ishmael. Alright? Abraham's funeral brought together two sons who would perhaps otherwise have remained somewhat estranged from each other. Compare this with Genesis 25:9, where a similar reunion later occurs between Jacob and Esau at the death of Isaac. Alright, that's Genesis 35:29. You can read that later. This goes to show how funerals can bring estranged family members together. And don't we know that?
Amen.
And don't we know that?
Amen.
Not just here, but everywhere. I go down south, the funerals, we haven't seen people in 30 or 40 years. So funerals have a way of bringing people together. Amen. So don't be small-minded and think only in Troy.
Right.
I'm just saying in general. You know, come on, some of y'all know y'all going to places and you've had some relatives that you couldn't rub shoulders with, they couldn't be in the same room. But funerals have a way of breaking down walls, amen?
Amen.
And once those walls get broken down, we should not allow anyone to build them back up.
Amen.
Right? Funerals can break down walls, amen? Compared with Genesis 35:29, let's go to Genesis 23, and his son, Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah. Isaac, though the younger brother, is shown first because he was born of the lawful wife of Abraham, the free woman, whereas Ishmael was born of a concubine and a bondwoman. Isaac was heir not only to Abraham's temporal estate, but of the promise made concerning the Messiah, but not Ishmael, and was on all accounts the greater Messiah. man. Why? Because God chose him. Amen. If we read later, we know that Isaac had Jacob and Esau. Esau was the firstborn, but God chose Jacob. Ishmael was the firstborn, but God chose Isaac. So it's up to God to choose whoever he will because it's God's decision. It appears that though there had been a quarrel between Ishmael and Isaac, and the latter had been persecuted by the former, yet the difference was now made up, and they were reconciled. At least they agreed in this act of showing their last respect to their father. Though Ishmael had been expelled from his father's house, yet he was not at any great distance from him. And there was a correspondence between him and his father, otherwise he would have not known that Abraham had died. Amen. Nor was he forgotten by him, as it is clear from Genesis 25:6. It says, Abraham gave gifts unto his concubine's children. Alright? And even Isaac. Amen. And the field of Ephron, the son of Zophar the Hittite, which is before Mamre, that's in Genesis 23:19. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave in the field of Machpelah. Wherefore, very false is the tradition of the Mohammedans that Abraham sepulchre is in Mecca. Right? They say Abraham sepulchre is in Mecca, but the Bible says he was buried in the cave of Machpelah. Right? So if you don't know the Bible, then you unfortunately be in historical error, thinking that he's in Mecca. But he is not in Mecca. Now show and stands about, they said he's in Mecca, which they now show and stands about 12 paces from the temple where enclosed with the iron rails. Abraham looked to the right age of 175 because of his great faith and strength. Who extended his life? God. Most people during that time lived to be 120 years old. But when God grants you favor and blessings, God will extend your life. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
It is interesting that Isaac and Ishmael buried their father. You remember that it was stated that Ishmael would dwell around Isaac. The other half brothers had been sent away. If you read earlier in this chapter, it says Abraham gave Keturah's sons gift, and he sent them to the east, away from his son. And though he sent Ishmael away, Ishmael still hung around in the area. Amen? It seems that while Ishmael did not share in the inheritance of Isaac, he did nonetheless maintain, at least in this generation, an amicable relationship with his brother. One might also conclude that he had come to respect God's choosing of Isaac. It is worth noting that it is Ishmael alone, out of all the children of Abraham, who attends the interment of his father's body at Hebron. The rest of those sons of Keturah, they didn't come to the burial. Only Ishmael and Isaac. Amen? The Hebrew kibar, translated as buried, is better understood to mean interred. After all, the bodies were placed into burial caves rather than buried beneath the ground. To this day, the traditional method of Hebrew burial involved placing the bodies above ground and in a cased, many stone or concrete tomb. For the Jews, burial is not placing the body beneath the ground. This is in part due to the belief in the resurrection of the dead at the final day, Yom Hanan, which is, they believe is the day of judgment. The Hebrew word for grave is kibar, and the Hebrew word for place of the dead is sheol, and they convey two very different things. The former is a physical location, usually above ground. The latter is a spiritual location, identified as being beneath. Contrary to popular misleading liberal Christian theology, sheol, the place of the dead, and kibar, grave above ground, are not synonymous. A simple understanding of the Hebrew language refutes such ludicrous nonsense. Make no mistake, there is a Gehenna, which is hell, and a Gehenna, which is the bosom of Abraham, or paradise. Remember when Lazarus dies and the rich man dies? which is paradise. All right, so just from this in Luke 16 chapter, you can read that in your spare time. Genesis 25:11, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lehari. Moses began to serve Isaac immediately after the account of Abraham's death. He tells us where he dwelt and how remarkably God blessed him. Note, the blessing of Abraham did not die with him, but survived to all the children of the promise. You see, Isaac would be blessed because of Abraham and because of his own life too. This made it a double blessing. Isaac was the second of the great patriarchs. We know that he's the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I wonder why the God is not there. Because there's still other patriarchs in the lineage. Amen? I don't know the answer. Don't you wonder? Don't you ever wonder why does God stop by his son? Amen? But there's some key words in there that we'll go over a little later. This was the same well discussed in a previous lesson. Lehari means the well of him that liveth and seeth me, or the well of the vision of life. The well Lehari was near the wilderness of Beersheba and Paran, where Ishmael dwelt, so that they were not far one from the other. And we know this is the place where God found Hagar, when she fled from her mistress, Sarah. Amen. This is where God found her. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, speaking of Hagar, thou God seeth me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahari. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Barad. This residence of Isaac was at the same well where Hagar had been greeted by the angel of Jehovah, and was refreshed after her expulsion from the household of Abraham. Isaac was coming from Beer Lahari when he met Rebecca following his mother's passing. And now he is there again after his father's passing. Beer Lahari was a place of solemn worship of God for Isaac, a place where he was physically and spiritually refreshed by the waters of the living seer. Beer Lahari was a sacred location for restorative retreat. Isaac, like Abraham, had a designated place to worship and meet with God. Now, that's what I always wanted. Lord, if I ever get a place, I'm going to have a room dedicated just for worship. Amen. I'm not going to have a room where anyone's going. When you go in this room, you know it's a time to worship and meet with God. Abraham had that place. Isaac had that place. Jacob had that place. And Jacob called the place Bethel, which is the house of God. Amen? Am I going too fast, y'all? All right. You got to slow me. All you have to do is slow me down. I just raise your hand. I'll slow down. All right? Genesis 12, 7 through 8. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto thy seed will I give this land, and there buildeth he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he moved from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and high on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and did what? Call on the name of the Lord. And this is right after God had called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he had left Haran, and he's on his journey. But as he journeyed, he had to have a designated place to meet with God. We should all have not just church, in our house, we should have a designated place to meet with God. Why are we going to meet with God? Because there's a place where we have God's mind, we get the mind of God, we can worship, and most of all, we can invoke God's presence. Amen. So, you know, I know all our houses, we don't have that kind of space. But at least Jesus said, if you can't find a room, at least get into your secret closet. Right? See, we should have a place where we can meet with God. Amen. Genesis 13, 3 and 4. Now we know between Genesis 12 and 13, And in Genesis 13, he's going back from Egypt. And verse 3 said, and he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the... He had his designated place. Even though he had left, he goes back to where he was at in the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had. He said, I need to get God's presence. I need to go back to where I... You know, he used to say, Lord, take me back to the place where I first believed. Take me back to the place where I first received you. We need God to take us back sometime to that designated place when I first got saved. When the demon in hell could nothing stop me from walking with God. Lord, take me back to that designated place where I can get in God's presence. Amen. Unto the place of the altar which he made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Notice he doesn't just call on the name of the Lord anywhere, but he has a designated place. Isaac has a designated place. After the death of his mother Sarah, he goes to the Haran. After his father died, he goes to the rock, the Haran. But this time he doesn't just go to the desert, but now he dwells in the Haran. He had a designated place. We should all have a designated place. Amen. I remember Bishop told on prayer. He said, not only should we have a designated place, but we should have a designated time to pray. And he said, I hear people say, you got to make time to pray. But Bishop said, there are 24 hours in a day, so you can't make time. Because if you make time, then you're going to enter the 24 hours. So since you can't make time, you have to set time. Right? You have to set time because you can't make time. So you have to set time. If you don't set time to pray, the whole day will go by. And you'll be the next day still have prayed. Amen. I start exercising at night. My wife forbid me from exercising at night because I'm sweat all night. I still sleep, but I'm sweat all night. So she had to keep washing the sheets. So now I have a designated time. I have a set time. I don't feel like getting up early in the morning, but it's a set time. So I make myself do it. An hour every morning. Set time. Because I used to wait till at night. And how many know at night you just way too tired to really be exercising anything? Right? Well, as it is in the physical, so it is in the spiritual. We must get up and set time aside with God. You have to spend time with God. How the question is often asking questions. I know I'm getting off track a little bit here. Sorry, I'm looking at these and saying you're right. I know. How do we spend time with God up there? If we never spend time with Him down here. How many of us married? Everybody married. Married or have been married? That's my area. How would your spouse, male or female, feel if you don't ever spend time with them? Think about it. Why did you get married? Actually, I was surprised. I'm going to go off tangent just a little bit, just a few minutes. I was surprised when this Jewish Messianic preacher was teaching on when in Genesis 2 and 24, it said, therefore shall a man leave his mother and father, and state shall cleave unto his wife, and their twain shall be one flesh. Listen, therefore shall a man leave his mother and father, and their twain shall be one flesh. He said, well, did God write that to Abraham? Write that to Adam? No. Because Adam is never mother and father. Right? That's what I'm saying. This is how you have to change the way you think. Because right? Adam didn't have a mother and father. So how could he leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife? So it was projecting something in the future, which projected the marriage of the lamb and the bride. But when it said, and they twain shall be one flesh, there should be oneness in God. Oneness in God. That's what marriage should be. Oneness in God. I'm stepping out of place. But if your marriage ain't promising God, you need to revisit. Amen? Because that's how he made it from the beginning. Remember Jesus in the 5th chapter of Matthew, the 19th chapter of Matthew, the Mark, the 10th chapter. He said, God did not have it this way in the beginning. Right. God never... All right. Let's keep going. Let's go back to Matthew 25. Right? I don't even know, really know, but I'm just saying, what he said is, it meant oneness with God. And everything about the church is what? Oneness with God, my Lord, my faith, my God, it's everything about oneness. So if our marriage is not in oneness, I got to say it, it's not. If our marriage is not oneness, then who's at fault? They did say the woman's going to leave her mother and father, so the greater responsibility is on the man. All right, man, don't y'all be holding your hands down and talk to me. And a lot of us know about the women. So the responsibility is on the man. And then Peter says, if you don't honor the woman as a weaker vessel, you might as well stop praying. Because your prayers will be hindered. Because God intended for marriage to be oneness in God. As Christ is the head of the church, so the man, all right, Genesis 25:12. Y'all got it, right? You can't give God excuses because you can't rewrite the book. God has already written the book. Don't go put your personal interpretation and make the Bible say what you want it to say if it's contrary to God. If you don't say amen, say ouch, say something. Matthew 25:12. Now, if the man is not acting like God, you don't have to follow that. Paul said, follow me as long as I'm. Matthew 25:12. Now these, what's he say? Oh yeah, yeah. Now these, well just go ahead. Now these are the generation of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah handmaid bare unto him. Now, you notice the little short scriptures that they use to refer to Ishmael? Very short. The generation of Ishmael, with the death of Abraham, the focus shifting to Isaac, the record reconfirms God's promise in 12 of 12 presents to Ishmael. Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son. I messed up something there, but I don't know what I did. Y'all just fix it later. The genealogy of his posterity, and which is given to show that the Lord was not unmindful of his promise made to Abraham concerning the multiplication of his seed. Talking about Ishmael. This is Genesis 16:10. It talks about how he's going to make him an exceeding great multitude. Genesis 17:20 says, for Ishmael I heard thee, behold, I have blessed him, will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. God tells him what? 12 princes shall he beget. And I will make him a... How many children did Ishmael have? 12. So it's a fulfillment of God's word. Amen? Ishmael is honored by being linked to Abraham and through Sarah, his mother being named as a handmaid of the matriarch. He is also circumcised in Abraham's physical and spiritual heritage. So, circumcision represented being in the what? The covenant. Right, that was the covenant that God established was circumcision. So, circumcision started after, I believe, Isaac was 8 days old when he was circumcised. When eight days old. So when Isaac was 8 days old, was Ishmael still in the house? Yes. So he was circumcised to be part of the covenant. So because he was circumcised as part of the covenant, even though he wasn't the chosen one, he still got the blessing. Because of the covenant. Remember the Bible said God cannot deny himself. He cannot deny his word. Whatsoever God says is fixed. So it says you are part of the promised one. Amen? Excuse me? And what? And it said, and Sarah, Abraham to Sarah, his mother, being named as a handmaid of the matriarch.
Yeah, but it should say, Ishmael's mother.
Through Sarah, his mother, being named as a handmaid of the matriarch, who would be Hagar. That's right. The rewrite? I was writing in Hebrew.
Ishmael is honored by being linked to Abraham through Hagar, his mother.
No.
He named as a handmaid.
He's linked to Abraham through Sarah, but Hagar was Sarah's handmaid.
I don't
understand. Okay, we'll explain that later. You can confuse everybody else.
So I have a lesson.
He has a lesson. If anyone will learn, they'll learn all. Yeah, no, that's right. What they're saying is that Ishmael was blessed because he was linked to Sarah and Abraham through Hagar, who was Sarah's handmaid, is what they're saying. That's what it means. That's what it's supposed to mean. All right, it might not be. Like, when I be writing, I be doing it so fast. I told you y'all to fix my mess up. All right? All right, so now listen to it. Genesis 17:10 tells us that about the circumcision and the covenant. Well, let's read it. This is my what? Covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be was Israel a man-child? Yes. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. So even though Ishmael wasn't part of the promise, he was part of the covenant. Because he was part of the covenant, because God did not deny his word or himself, he had to receive blessings. That's why God made him 12 princes. Amen? It says, verse 12 of that same chapter 17, and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. He that is born in the house or bought with money of a stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your for what? So was it in Ishmael's flesh for the everlasting covenant? So he got the blessings. Because God could not deny his word nor deny himself. But he still does not have the election of being the chosen one. Amen. Then Genesis 25:13-16, all right, gives us all the list of Ishmael's 12 sons. Alright, so let's go to the next one. Ishmael had how many sons? Is that what God told Abraham Ishmael was going to have? 12 sons. Do you just think of how wonderful God is? He didn't have 11, he didn't have 13. He had just what God said. 12 princes they are called in verse 16. They were heirs of families, which in the process of time became nations, distinct tribes, numerous and very considerable. Those 12 heads would be considered as 12 kings or 12 presidents. They had royalty. Amen. Why? Because of the covenant of Ishmael being in Abraham's house. You know, if we ever learn in church, there are blessings that come from being in the covenant. Well, what's the covenant? Baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. There are blessings that accompany that. But we miss out on the blessing because we fail to realize the covenant that God makes. When God makes a promise, then the man in hell that can break it. They ain't a demon that can break it. Man, a man in hell can break it. Right? That's the devil. Right? When God makes us a promise, can you pull up Hebrews 6:17? Let's go this way. This is for church. Now, that's the Old Testament. This devil going to the New Testament. There are blessings that come from being saved. Well, why don't we have the blessings? Because we allow the adversary, our own selves, to talk us out of blessings. Amen. I heard one preacher say every time he got in trouble, he'd go to the Bible and say, well, God, he pointed to the scriptures, and this is what you said. Actually, it was Bishop Potter. He said, when things weren't going right, he would open up his Bible and say, God, this is what you said. Now, we'll stand on what you said because you cannot deny yourself. And God is not the man that he should, not the son of man that he should repent. So he said, because you said, and God cannot lie, God will not lie, I'm going to stand on what you said. That's your word. So he said, when God willing more bodily to short to the heir of the what? The God promises cannot change. If he makes a promise, even though you might mess up, when God makes promises, they cannot change. The immutability of his promise, confirmed it by verse 18, says, thereby two immutable things, and what's in there is? Will you tell God God's word and say, you can't lie. I'm going to stand on your word. Impossible for God to lie that we might have a, you can be sure, you don't have to question that. A strong constellation who or what? Stand for refuge to lay hold on God. Don't lose your hope. You can stand on God's word and his promise. All right, let's keep going. People made very large continent that lay between Egypt, Assyria, called Arabia. Now these are the sons of Ishmael. Notice they are not in Israel. Right? So even though the Arabs are claiming different parts of Israel, this tells us exactly where they were. As last week we learned, Keturah's children, God, the Bible says Abraham sent them to the east, far away from his son Isaac. Now they're telling us the area that should belong to the Arabs, it is not Jerusalem. Amen? The area is between Egypt and Assyria, called Arabia. The names of his 12 sons are recorded. Midian, Kedar, so on and so forth. Let's just skip this. Let me go down to Midian and Kedar, they say they play a big part, but I want to skip that. You'll read that in your spare time, right? I'm going to skip most of this. Like 5 more minutes. I want to get to, do you see the part after the green says Genesis 25:17, and these are the years that should be ground into the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. I'm going to start there. The rest of it, it just gives you the names, because remember, back in Bible days, every name had a meaning. They didn't just have arbitrary names like Shushan and Kubak and all that other stuff like we got today. You know, they get named means something. Sometimes we name our kids, we need to go find out what that stuff means. All right, because we put some stuff on them that ain't supposed to be there. But nevertheless, it seems as though Ishmael truly repented of his mocking behavior towards Isaac. The fact that he was present at his father's burial and this lesson of his years indicates his connection to the righteous one, Abraham and Sarah. Can only mean that he died in right standing before God. Was gathered unto his people is the same phrase that was used for Abraham in Genesis 25:8, and is a hint that Ishmael was penitent and died a good man, was gathered to the same people that Abraham was gathered to. It is believed that Ishmael is a foreshadowing of a day when all non-Jews or Gentiles who trust in God through Jesus will be received into the eternal people of God. Genesis 25:18, and they dwell from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as our goest toward Assyria, and he died in the presence of all his brethren. These 7 verses from Genesis 25:12-18 are all that are devoted to Ishmael's posterity. The chief focus of God's concern being not the posterity of Ishmael, but that of Isaac, to which he turned at once. But this verse also details the area that belongs to the posterity of Ishmael. I know the H is missing, I'll correct, put it in there. And they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur. It's telling you where their area was. It is not in Jerusalem, it is not in Israel. Their area bordered Israel, but it was not in Israel. So they don't have to go through all of these peace talk to try and figure out what they have to do. Just go read the Bible, and you'll know your place. Because when God gives you something, Russia, China, United States, South Korea, nobody else can take it away. And matter of fact, when they had the Six-Day War, when Egypt tried to usurp their authority and move into Israel, it only lasted for 6 days. That little Israel destroyed all Egypt. Why? Not because Israel was so powerful, but who was behind Israel? He said, they shall be my people forever. Right? So nobody's going to ever change that. That's going to be God's designated place. No matter what they do, he told them, I've set my throne in Jerusalem. Amen? So these 7 verses are all contained to him. That is the posterity of Israel, whose country reached from one place to the other. But this description definitely does not include Jerusalem. But the extent is that vast desert, Arabia, which eastward, y'all with me, right? I think it's on the last page, right? Which eastward was called the wilderness of Havilah, and westward the wilderness of Shur. So if they inhabited from east to west, that is before Egypt, as it goes to Assyria, which land space was over against Egypt. And the border on that part where the way of the land of Assyria lies. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. They were present when he died, but in peace with them, and all posterity along with them. Alright? So now this is where he died. This died does not mean he physically died. It means he fell prostrate or fell down before his brother, right, in the presence of his brother. As we noted before, these were Arabs living in all the Arab countries surrounding Israel. But Israel belonged to Isaac's posterity. The information here was given to show how God fulfilled his promise to Abraham that Ishmael would be blessed, even that he would dwell over against, that is, adjacent to the Israelites, a phenomenon that pertains to the present day. It is hardly profitable to follow each of these names in the racial history that followed. At the time Abraham was buried, Ishmael was 90 years old, and by the time his sons were all grown into strong and powerful leaders, with strongholds and villages of their own, they were called 12 princes according to their nations. Amen. Amen. I do have more, but I just figured we'd stop there. I don't want to go over and do it. Amen. I don't know whoever done that last week's notes. We do have last week. Some of last week's notes as well. So if you start studying and start really knowing, like they said, Abraham is buried in Mecca, he's not there. He's in the cave of Mecca. Amen. Do we have any questions? Any questions? Any comments? Amen. If not, let us stand. That means y'all are ready to go. I know some people want to go play with some cheesesteak stuff. Some old cheesesteak. Make you sick. Amen. But nevertheless, we just thank God. But so